I'm sure I'm not the one you were expecting. Not my story. Not my type of woman, lack of moral behavior. This Canaanite prostitute, this temptress woman, as some like to call me. But maybe it's more than just me. Sure, it's easy to pick on me. But maybe it's the whole story that makes you a bit uncomfortable. This story that includes war and violence, destruction, prostitution, spies, land grabbing, fear mongering. There sure is a lot of it going on. For after this, the story is that the Israelites will come and destroy the whole city and everyone residing in it, aside from me and my family, that is. It's one that often leaves many questioning, what kind of God is this? One who ordered such destruction? What kind of God is this that used such a lowly woman? Perhaps I can help shed some light on that for you. I've been known to be pretty persuasive. As you know it to begin, the two Israelite spies showed up to my house one day, but you must realize there's a little bit more of a backstory. About 40 years or so before these two men ever stepped foot in my house, there were a few miraculous events that just couldn't be explained, aside from it was the work of the Israelites' God. See, I'm sure most of you know the story. This God of heaven and earth rescued these people from Egypt, parted the Red Sea, allowing them to walk into their freedom and swallowing up the Egyptian army as they chased after them. Never had anyone heard of anything like this before. The story spread like wildfire as many wondered what would become of these people so protected and so loved by their God. While the stories circulated frequently before I was born, they did quiet down a bit, only recently to swell back up again. Many wondered the truth to them, especially after they first sent two spies into Canaan, only to retreat back into the desert 40 years ago. No one doubted them once they finally began to enter the land again, though. We all heard what they did to the two Amorite kings, and everyone's hearts began to melt. That means we became downhearted, fearful, afraid, wondering what might become of us. We knew only time would tell. And it did. They showed up at my house. I'm not sure why they chose me, my house, maybe an act of God. Maybe because they heard it was the home of a prostitute, and easier place to move in and out with fewer questions asked. But they'd also come from Shittim, they told me, which is also a place known for prostitution. Perhaps this is what they were comfortable with. It's hard to say, really, how or why they wound up with me at my house, but that's what happened. Before too long, messengers from the king showed up. Word has spread fast that two outsiders came into the city, especially as the fears of the Israelites are running high. I quickly rushed my guests up onto the roof to hide them before answering the door. When you knock on the door of a prostitute, you kind of expect there might be a delay in answering. The king's messengers weren't in unfamiliar territory here, if you know what I mean. If it wasn't official duty, we would have been much more on a first-name basis, the way some of them show up in the middle of the night. But here, they didn't come on their own accord. They were sent by the king to ask about the two strangers that others saw enter my house. Using my womanly charm, batting my eyes, showing a little skin, I told them they left already. Sure, they were here. They got what they wanted, and went back to where they came from. I told them, though, if they hurried, they could surely overtake them. Again, using that charm to make them believe I thought that they were so strong and mighty and daring, they could catch up to them in no time. They took off almost immediately. Part of me wonders if they hoped to return that night after the intended capture to celebrate. Either way, I knew it'd be a while before they returned. So up the stairs, I went to the roof. Keeping those Israelite spies under the flax, I whispered to them for a bit before I felt comfortable allowing them back out into the main part of the house. Who knew who was watching and waiting? Either way, the city gate had been closed, and I'm sure these two spies feared a bit for their own lives, now as they didn't know any other way in or out of the city. And that's when I knew I had a great opportunity, one that I would not pass up. As growing up, I didn't often have many, for if you did, do you think I would have wound up as a prostitute? Certainly, I wasn't going to waste this opportunity. This God of theirs, this mighty and powerful God, was greater than any of our gods. For years, upon hearing the stories, I wondered if it were true, if these people really existed, if their God really rescued them. Here they were in my house. Certainly felt like a sign to me. I began proclaiming all I knew about this God, knowing that the Lord was to give them the land. Why else would they have come? Proclaiming the mighty stories we have heard about this God of theirs, proclaiming that truly the Lord their God is indeed the God of heaven and earth. Proclaiming my deep affection, my deep inquiry about this God. Wondering in my heart of hearts if we could be welcomed in as well. Saved, rescued, protected, loved by this great God. I asked if they would swear to me by this God of theirs that they would deal kindly with me and my family. I knew war was imminent. Whether or not these two spies made it back safely, the Israelites would come. I asked that they give me a sign of good faith, that they would spare me and my family, my father, mother, brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to them, to deliver us from death, since I had dealt so kindly, saving them from death. Almost immediately they responded, "Our life for yours! If you don't tell this business of ours, then we will deal kindly and faithfully with you when the Lord gives us the land." I'll be honest, my heart leaped. There was a spring of joy, a peacefulness of mind. From here, I found a rope long enough to help them scale down through the window. The thing about living on the edge, the outskirts of town, is the back of my house was built into the city wall. The back window opens right out into the open fields. I don't think these men paid much attention when they first entered the house, though. For once I started with this, it was almost like they were backtracking on their promise. They started with a lot of if-then clauses, putting so much on protecting my family back on me. If I didn't tie this crimson cord on this very window, if all my family wasn't in the house before the attack, or if any of them left the house during the attack, they were not responsible for their deaths. Almost as if the minute they knew they had a way out to safety, it's like they tried to do all they could to get out of such a promise with me, this Canaanite woman prostitute. But either way, they were tied to it to an extent. They couldn't completely backtrack, and so I agreed to their words. Before I knew it, they were gone, hiding for 3 days before returning back over the Jordan. There's something about their words that struck me. The crimson cord. It needed to be tied to the window, and it would mark the house as one the army wouldn't touch. You see, I don't know how familiar you are with it all, but there's this story about Passover. The Israelites were slaves down in Egypt. God told them to kill the firstborn sheep, use the blood to smear it over the doorpost, that this would be a sign that they were to be protected, that no death would fall upon them, but rather they would be passed over. This crimson cord, it reminded me of something similar to a Passover, that me and my family, we were to be protected from death. That God would protect us, this Canaanite family, this family of a lowly prostitute, this woman in such a similar way. This family where I was the only one to proclaim the Lord as the God of heaven and earth. It still amazes me to this day, the beautiful grace and mercy of such a God. When all we heard time and time again was that the Israelites and their God wanted nothing to do with us, with outsiders. They were coming to take over the land, destroying us all. But apparently the door wasn't ever completely shut. There were always cracks to welcome in those who turned to our glorious Savior. My great, 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 well, too many greats to count grandson chose just this. Not just welcoming those in through the crack in the door, but breaking the door right on down completely. Tearing the heavens open with his baptism, tearing the temple curtain in two with his death. This curtain that kept God contained from the people who safely remained on the other side. Here, Jesus made a way for all people to encounter God, showing that God isn't locked in some building, protected behind some curtain, hiding high above in the heavens. But God is out in the world among us, sometimes in the most surprising places, sometimes using the most surprising people, like me, a prostitute. That if you paid attention to the story, I was the only one to proclaim the mighty acts of God. Obviously, the king and his messengers wouldn't. But these spies, even when they knew they were kindly cared for and would make it back to their base camp safely, never once praised God. Never once acknowledged the goodness of the Lord. The ones who would have been thought to be more righteous than I, a female Canaanite prostitute. That's three strikes right there. But I praised God then, and I praise God now. The Lord of heaven and earth. For when the Israelites returned to destroy the city, my house, our family, we were passed over. And we were welcomed to live with the Israelites, become a part of their people, freely worship their God, this God who saves. Much to some disgruntling of the people, we were free to intermarry. And it was with this true freedom really did come as I met Salmon, this man who saw me for more than what I was, this beloved child of God. He redeemed me from my life of poverty and prostitution. He married me, giving me security in marriage, and with that, the birth of our beautiful son, Boaz. I said it before, and I'll say it again. proclaiming God's glory forever. The Lord, our God, is indeed the God of heaven above and earth below. This God who not only saved by passing over us, but by welcoming us, some of the most unlikely, maybe even unwanted characters, into the family of God. This one who has come, and this one who is coming again. All praise be to God. Amen.